Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk, live from Rouse's Market, 717 Clearview Parkway. Mike DeTeo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come and shop at Rouse's. Got wild caught 16-25 count headless Louisiana shrimp, only $5.99 per pound. Come on by and visit us. You can get all your shopping needs done. Big Monday night game that you can hear right here on the Big 870. And also free on the Odyssey app, and you get all your food, drink stuff right here at Rouse's. And again, we at 717 Clearview Parkway in Metairie. Want to bring in a special guest. She's been on a lot of times. Head supervisor, coordinator here at Rouse's, Marcy Nathan.
This is not true at all.
Come on. Come on. You got to take that title,
he's
Marcy.
Just being humble.
You got to take that title.
No. Thank you very much for having me here today. Okay. I see Deuce eating some sushi. Bobby just ate his sushi without his chopsticks.
Eat sushi. I eat the finger sandwiches. I love that. I eat the chicken wings, fried chicken. You know, I love me some rice.
Hold on, Bob. I got this white paper. You can write all that stuff that you eat on.
No, listen. If it's edible and it's very edible at Rouse's, I eat it.
Does it have to be moving? It doesn't even have to be. If it's moving, you'll still probably eat it too.
The only thing, let me tell you, I'm off on a tangent.
Yeah, I don't know why I started.
The only thing I cannot eat to this day is beets.
Why can't you eat beets?
I'm telling you, in fourth grade, I got food poisoning at school. They had some beets, and it's wired in my brain. That all of a sudden it's like, oh, I
Bobby, there's a juice over here. It's lemonade and beets. I'm telling you, will love it.
I mean, but I think most people tell that story, but it's they can't drink Jack Daniels or
no.
We can take care of that. That ain't an issue.
I can drink 151.
I'm gonna go get it. It's a beet drink.
It's just that I had that bad experience and. In my brain,
it stays in your head.
Yeah, got sick that, and it just because I eat anything.
I'm gonna take the label off of this drink, Bobby, and I want you to try it.
No, I always people. You know, I thought I take for granted. Like you go to a restaurant, you order a nice like escargot or something. They go, oh, I'm not eating a snail.
Wait, you're gonna eat a snail?
Yes,
yeah, you eat.
No, because I never got sick eating that. And it's good. Mussels. I can eat any of that.
Marcy is like, how did I get involved?
No, you set him up. You set him up. So I'm going to go there. Marcy, tell everybody a little bit about the new Rouse's that you got worked up. I think one in Mississippi, right?
Or a couple of them.
Yeah, we just opened up in Picayune, Mississippi, which was lovely. And the mayor was so gracious and the town was so gracious. And it was really an amazing experience. And then we're opening up in Biloxi in about 10 days on the 16th.
So you look at the handprint or footprint, they go all the way from Mobile to the Gulf Coast.
We go
Rouse is the Gulf Coast supermarket.
Yeah, we go from Lake Charles, and I was just in Lake Charles 2 weeks ago, all the way through Orange Beach, Alabama. And somebody just brought in food.
Marcy, our whole expectation.
I wasn't even going to grab it. I just let him be.
He heard, Bobby, that's the gentleman. Yeah, that's the gentleman that's cooking outside.
We smelled it.
Yeah, we smelled it all. See, he took a whiff. I mean, it was just Marcy, you could probably leave. I mean, because he's done.
If you look at that steak and potatoes, that is like I think you don't need any teeth. It's just so tender. It's like it'll melt in your mouth.
Our USDA Choice Angus Beef Chairman's Reserve.
Well, Deuce, I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to cut it in half.
No, we ain't going to share it. I mean, I want a full one.
He don't want none of that half stuff.
Marcy, y'all aren't going to share anything with Mike? I just want to point out.
No,
Mike was going to lose on that one.
I'm short straw on that particular deal. Marcy, tell everybody a little bit, too, what Rouse is doing for hurricane relief.
We've
seen the devastation out in Tennessee, North Carolina, and, man, to come in like it did, No one would have ever dreamed in North Carolina and in
East Tennessee,
to see the devastation.
Carolina. No, it's very similar because you're dealing with water. We all know about water. Katrina.
Water's bad to the bone.
This is devastating. And the infrastructure.
I was on the phone this morning with the guy who is sending, we're sending the trucks for him. I've been getting all the supplies going up to North Carolina. And it's an area just past where, you know, towards Asheville, and my friends and I always have gone up to Highlands for the summer because one of my besties, her mother and father-in-law have a house in Highlands, and they've always been so gracious and
to get away from the heat.
Yeah, and so we go up every couple of years, and you know, our high school friends, and it's just, you know, I can picture all these places where everything is. I love the guy that's the people that are pulling it together from Thibodaux, and we were talking about only people from here can truly understand what it's like with a hurricane. What it's like when the media moves on. Not saying y'all move on, but I can remember with Katrina when suddenly they weren't talking about
it's
Katrina.
Like old,
it's like
news.
I don't have a house anymore.
Yeah, it's old news.
And you're not in New York or Los Angeles because they would get a lot better coverage. No, we experienced it on the bayou and out in South Louisiana. No, you
with
got
Ida.
A week and then that was it.
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of Louisiana connection to
North,
North Carolina.
Absolutely. Yes.
There's a lot of people because the proximity, you're in the mountains, you're still in the South.
Right.
And they have, whether it's a second home or just kind of, they might have moved there.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of Louisiana connection. You look at Western North Carolina, simply because you're still in the South and you want that elevation. You don't want the brutal summers we'll be having here. And then now they thought, man, I thought I was getting away from potential flooding or levee breaking. And then you have this, the rivers are overflowing. And you know that when it rains, and you talk about 30 inches, whatever, that gravity is going to find its lowest point. And, you know, I was just there in late June. My daughter lived, my oldest daughter lived in Asheville.
Right.
Now, she was fortunate. Everything was all right. She was able to get to Atlanta. Now she's going to hang out with her brother in St. Louis. But she says, Dad, it came out of nowhere, and no one was prepared. Because you think, and she goes, the wind was blowing about 50 miles an hour, 50 to 60, but it never stopped raining. And, like, I remember hanging out with her at over the Thanksgiving holidays at Chimney Rock. And, you know, we went and have brunch, and, boy, look at a nice stream with the rapids and all. You're going right there. Well, it ain't there no more.
It's not there anymore.
It ain't no buildings, no nothing. You wouldn't even not even know it's a town because you build communities in the valley, and the water got to go somewhere, and it's just so sad. And you might say, like, okay, I've been partying or been down in downtown Asheville. Yeah, that's all fine, how that's kind of built up. But if you don't have electricity and water,
then what
how
are you
can you
do?
Function?
You got no essentials.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But the trucks are going. I have to give so much credit to these folks in Thibodaux that have, and some folks in Baton Rouge that are really pulling everything together. And we've seen, you know, we were just a couple weeks ago feeding everybody in Thibodaux and Houma, where we had the drive-thrus with the Archdiocese and Second Harvest, where we were feeding 600 families at a time there. And then for the generosity quickly in turning. And I want to give credit to somebody on the phone today, I mean on the show today, if it's okay. I think everybody knows Chef Isaac Toops and his wife, Amanda, and they have been doing the most extraordinary job of feeding the community. And they came by this morning to our Barone store and picked up 1,200 pizzas, frozen pizzas, to distribute in the community to kids and families so that people had a snack for Halloween.
Just to take their mind off of it.
And they are, they just, you know, I said, well, we need a refrigerated truck. And Chef Isaac himself pulled up in a refrigerated truck, pulled up and receiving like he was the Budweiser guy or the dairy man, and got 1,200 frozen pizzas. And we're trying to move more and more to them and do stuff where it's a grassroots thing.
When I look at
But that, I want to give him credit. I want to give that, those two people are just, you know, it's such a pleasure to be, it's such an honor to be involved, for Rouse's to be involved.
To show you that we, a melting pot in South Louisiana, that name Toots, when you hear Zarang and you hear like Shake Snyder and all that, that's German Cajuns.
Yep, and he's from, they're from Maine.
Yeah. And then you learn to speak French and the Toots, and then that's a household, in the restaurant, that's a household name.
Yeah, and that's, I always think that the culinary community, of which we consider ourselves part of that food community, I don't think people realize how much and how quickly everybody galvanizes for anything. And right. It's extraordinary. So.
And they can do it much better than the federal government.
This is true.
Much better.
Yeah.
Too much bureaucracy.
If you had to start the world over again, we saw it after Katrina, people will come and feed so quickly. The chefs are like, that's in their,
it's in our nature too.
What we know is feeding the community.
Well,
so,
I'm going to get the Republicans and the Democrats mad at me, but the FEMA's dysfunctional.
I feel like FEMA's dysfunctional.
Whether there's a Democrat president or a Republican president, you look at Katrina, they had a Republican president, now we got a Democratic president, mm-hmm. FEMA's dysfunctional. We saw it for Ida on the bayou.
Yeah, y'all did.
They just are. And then all of a sudden, you got the local private communities.
The private community will always step up and do what they need to do. And then FEMA wants to take their resources
and act like they're putting it forward.
Bunch of BS. Well, I don't know what FEMA's doing, but I know what the chefs in New Orleans are doing. And I know what the folks in Thibodeau are doing in the Kiwanis Club and all this stuff. And it's just amazing. And what Deuce does, I know what we all do, but I mean, I always looked and think of what Deuce did with water in Mississippi. It really is a guiding light for what Rouse is doing.
Your stores.
We all need food.
He's coming back to our stores.
All the time. Your new stores in the two that you just opened up, what are the addresses again?
Oh, my God. I cannot believe you're going to ask me that because I have one's in Picayune and one's in Biloxi. I'll take that then.
Picayune and Biloxi.
Picayune and Biloxi. They're both beautiful stores. Those areas just deserve these supermarkets. I can remember after that Leah Chase said to me early on when we were working on stuff, she said you can build a great community around a great grocery store. And it's so exciting to see what happens when a community gets a Rouse's Markets. You know, we get thousands of requests a year, like very serious requests to come in and open. And when we open and you see what happens around it, and when you see people are able to get fresh, affordable food, local food and all of that, it's just amazing to see. And that they're so excited to have their Rouse's, which is lovely.
You've got some food deserts, and I think if you're in, it's the maroon for Picayune is, I think that's their mascot. And then Biloxi, obviously the Indians, but I'm pretty sure you're off a pass road.
I do know we're off a pass road in Biloxi, and there are other stores, but so I don't want to take anything away from the other grocery stores that are there, but they're not a Rouse's Markets, and the people from Biloxi have been having to drive to Gulfport, and the people in Picayune were having to drive to Slidell. We opened both of those stores because the customers were saying
they wanted their own.
I really want my own Rouse's right here. And Donnie was like, "Well, yes, you shouldn't. We don't want you to have to drive. We want you to have what you want." We look at all the local customers.
I'm even looking at this. I can remember those days when I'm seeing. Is that like Troop 490? Now, are you a Weeblo?
Yeah, come talk. Wait, I'm gonna switch. You want to be on the air? Come on.
Yeah, we have
a real celebrity with us. Hold on.
No, I'm looking at that. I was a Boy Scout. A Weeblo is like Boy Scouts is green, and then that's part of Boy Scouts of America. You're a Weeblo. I see that. And you belong to Troop 490. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So what, are you just shopping with your dad today or what?
Yeah, we're picking up stuff for my mom.
Oh, for your mom? You going run chores for your mom? Well, that's a good thing. You're being a good son.
Yeah.
And so what, you had your Weeblo meeting earlier, and I see that W on your hat and stuff. So what are you, trying to get? I see you got a couple of, is that merit badges? You got Bobcat Bear? What is that?
So it's like our, it's like a thing that when you graduate a rank, you get the badges.
Oh, so you went from Bobcat to Bear. I think you start out at Bobcat and then...
Well, I didn't start off at Bobcat. The first year you start, you get this badge.
Okay.
And then you work your way up to
get a bear.
So you've got two more badges to get?
No, because I didn't go to Cub Scouts for a lion and tiger.
Okay.
Oh, so you go Cub Scouts to Weeblos, then Boy Scouts, right?
Uh-huh.
So one day you might be an Eagle Scout.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's when you're amongst the best. And I remember some of that, building a campfire and You learn how to tie different knots and all that.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. You know, with Boy Scouts making a comeback. And if you look at Boy Scouts of America, I like anything here since 1910.
So Bobby didn't ask you, what's your name?
Luca.
Nice to meet you, Luca.
And you know that man who's running the radio gig?
His name's Luke.
So Luke and Luca. So, all right.
So, y'all can coordinate and supervise all this.
So, are you a Saints fan, LSU fan, Tulane, or you like them all, or what?
I am not a
fan. It's okay. You don't have to be a fan. Don't let Bobby pressure you.
Yeah, so who do you like?
What's your team?
Vikings.
The Vikings? Oh, so that's okay.
Wait, are you from Minnesota, or?
No, I'm from here.
But why do you like the Vikings? Because they're winning now?
No.
I don't know. I just like it.
You like them because of Justin Jefferson?
Oh, yeah.
LSU Tiger?
Justin can play.
Or you like just the purple?
I just like...
He likes the uniform?
Yeah,
that Vikings. Yeah, you like that.
Yeah, and I like those helmets.
Helmets, yeah, with the horn. They do that skull chant, and they get all excited. Yeah. You know, like, skull.
He's teaching some stuff, Luca.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on for us, Luca.
Thank you, Luca.
We appreciate it.
Enjoy shopping.
All righty.
I will.
All right.
Well, also, we want to thank Marcy Nathan. Always does a great job serving the community and the reach out that Rouses does. We'll be back at WWL Live. Rouses Market, 717 Clearview Parkway. Shop and save at Rouses, the official supermarket of the Saints.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on a special edition of WWL Sports Talk, live from Rouses Market, 717 Clearview Parkway. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come shop and save. They have USDA Grade A Sanderson Farms boneless chickenless chicken breasts, only $1.97 per pound. Save $2.02 per pound. Before we go to Blake, let me give you an update. We've had some people ask about the Tulane game. Tulane 44-6 over UAB with 6 minutes and 44 seconds left in the third quarter. Green Wave 44-6 over UAB.
That's a thumping.
Man, oh, is it a thumping. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from the RU Sirius Network covering the LSU Fighting Tigers, we have on with us Blake Ruffino. Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. At least you ain't got to worry about covering the LSU this evening, but you'll have a lot of LSU Ole Miss talk in the next 7 days. So thanks for joining us, Blake. In looking at it, I think the loss to Kentucky has put a different spin on this LSU Ole Miss game. Man, a lot of people thought Ole Miss would kind of roll this into Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, undefeated. They would take care of business against Kentucky, win today against South Carolina. But that weekend loss last Saturday to Kentucky has put a different spin on LSU Ole Miss.
No doubt, Mike, and I appreciate you having me on. And look, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, Mike, when they were going to play Kentucky. Look, you're facing three really physical football teams. They're about to kick the ball off and face another really physical football team in South Carolina. And Mike, there's a trend going on in college football right now. The teams that have been tested early in the SEC have been able to show their physicality. I mean, A&M just put a as Bobby Boucher would say, you know, a can of you-know-what on them. So I think, Mike, that you're right. It has shown that. I'm starting to question some of the physicality on some of these teams. But, look, man, I mean, Kentucky took it to them. But Ole Miss in about 12 minutes about to find out if they can revamp what people thought of them.
And Ole Miss is coming in here sort of beat up. They got a number of guys out. I know the Prince up front. He won't play against South Carolina. The one thing we saw against the Gamecocks, man, their front 4 is pretty doggone good. Now on the back end, it's not so hot. And they couldn't throw the football worth a lick in the second half once their quarterback went down. So can you take advantage of people's negatives? And I think that's going to be the key here when South Carolina plays Ole Miss, because we saw last week, if you don't bring your A game, and Kentucky came to play. They got a little bit of luck at the end with a fumble, and the kind of ball bounced right to that guy in for the score. Despite the fact Ole Miss didn't play well, they needed a little bit of football luck, and sometimes you'd rather be lucky than good at that stage of the game. But I didn't think Jackson Dart played very well last week at all, and he was trying to hit the big play downfield. Deuce brought it up about instead of maybe taking the short stuff, he was always looking to hit the home run.
No doubt. And Mike, too, another thing, they were 0-for-4 on third down trying to run the football with the running backs. You know, what's going on with Henry Parrish? I mean, I'm sure we're about to find that on. So I think even run the football in critical situations, you can't. Look, another big thing is Kentucky was able to get him off the field on third down, which I know Lane likes going for it on fourth. But Dart was 13 of 22 on rushing attempts. I mean, I know he got sacked a pair of times by Octavius Octane, but, I mean, look, that interior front, at least to me, and seeing him against, worthy interior with Kentucky, I mean, that's got to be a little bit worrisome. And, look, we've seen South Carolina, Mike. I mean, they got some guys. Now, the only thing is, going into this Ole Miss game right now, South Carolina is 132nd out of 133 teams in sacks allowed this year. And if any fan base knows that if they can get at them, it's completely LSU. So I wonder, Henry Parrish is dressed out. If he can go, hopefully they can run the football for them. But that would be the big thing for me in this game going into it.
Well, when you look at it, I don't know if Henry Parrish is even the best back on the team.
I agree with you,
Deuce. The best back hadn't played probably in the last five games for Ole Miss, and I don't know what's exactly going on. He had an opportunity to come out last year and didn't do so, and so that's Bentley, who, like I said, he came back for another year. He was probably, when you talk about the thunder and lightning with Ole Miss and Judkins and what they had with Bentley is the more explosive back. Parrish doesn't give them the explosion. I think that what you'll see from talking to people up in Oxford, you're going to see a lot more focused team. And I don't know if they were 100% focused and locked in on Kentucky last week. I think that you're going to see the team that they want to be against South Carolina. And I know South Carolina is a talented football team, but I think that you're going to see a talented team now. When Ole Miss went up there a couple years ago, South Carolina put it on them.
Yep.
South Carolina put
they
it
sure
on.
Did.
And one thing that we know, being a Beamer, one thing that they've always done is special teams. So look for something special team-wise, whether we're talking about a fake or go for it or something like that. You talked about how Lane likes to go for it on fourth down situations. But, look for Carolina to try to pull something off special teams-wise. But I think you're going to see a lot more focused team, this Ole Miss team, than they were necessarily against Kentucky.
Bring up an interesting point. It felt like the lack of intensity wasn't there last week too, right? And I think that's a big point. Now, I don't know. I'm sure that they're going to have it. Lane normally responds pretty heavy. But yeah, I agree with you. I'm sorry. I'm on y'all show and asking you a question. Why isn't he playing Bentley, in your opinion?
Something internal. I mean, yep. They necessarily hadn't said it. It's always going to be, hey, it's the coach's decision, not necessarily the head coach's decision. He's leaving it on the position coach. I don't know exactly what it is. I just know it's something internal.
So you can figure it out.
Yeah.
Now, Blake, what in your opinion, when you could do running back by committee, but then you have a go-to back, Caden Durham. I mean, I'm looking at, finally they had a game where we're at ease, the 42-10 win over South Alabama. But 128 yards on the ground, 89 yards receiving, and two touchdowns, all in the first half. I mean, right. So what is your take on him? I think you have to feed him. And I thought it was interesting. I thought it was interesting that, boy, I said this brought back some memories. When he scored on LSU's first offensive play, it was the first time a Tiger had scored a touchdown on the first play from scrimmage when Dalton Hilliard, back in 1982, he had a 16-yard touchdown run against Ole Miss. They had fumbled the opening kickoff, and then Dalton ended up scoring on the first play. So, you know, when you come out with a momentum backbreaker like that, I mean, while you're setting the tone, and it seems like Durham says, I'm the back. You can do it by committee, but you got to give me my touches.
Yeah, you got to give him more touches. And Bobby, in my opinion, not just touches in the running game. You know, like what he's doing in the passing game. Look, this is a question that I had this week. Bobby, who was the last Tiger in back-to-back games to have receiving touchdowns from a running back? Now, I think it's John Emery, okay? But remember in that 22 season when John had some critical plays for you when you won the West? Remember the wheel route against Alabama? The first catch or first Daniels touchdown when he went off on Florida in that 22 year. Well, John might have not been even a feature back, but what did you have success in? You had success
because you do have big body receivers on the outside that can block, along with the tight end that can block. And I think getting him just touches in the passing game, I mean, that kid's as explosive as a Looney Tunes commercial. Okay, like that kid can really play. So I think that in and of itself, just giving him touches has been a big deal for them too. And he's going to keep doing it. Now, Bobby, I will say, you know, he's on the injury. He's going to be on the injury report come Wednesday, and it's going to be a toe thing. So I don't know if he's 100%, but I feel confident he's going to go next week against Ole Miss.
What about now, Chris Hilton?
Yeah, I was going to say, what about Hilton? I talk about 100%. I mean, you look at the deep threat. I think he brings that. I mean, he's almost like with the Saints.
Kendra Miller.
It's like, are you on the team, dude? I mean, what?
Yeah, I mean, Bobby, if you asked me today to put money on it, I'd say he doesn't go against Ole Miss. Now, yeah, I don't think that he goes. I think that there's been a little bit of a setback. You know, look, we've had our dealings with Chris, and I love him as a player. If you asked me today if he was going next Saturday, I'd say no. But if you asked me on Wednesday, I think that might change. I don't think at the current moment that they feel confident that he's going to go.
Now, what is your take? I don't know how LSU's defense can get better when you lose your two best defensive players to injury for the season. And I want to talk about the linebacker core. Look at Harold Perkins. But it seems like, you know, you get experience and you get confidence that when you look at Greg Penn and Whit Weeks, well, I know they combined to have 23 tackles, 11 solo, 1.5 tackles for a loss, a couple of hurries. What do you think at with that linebacker core without Harold Perkins? Because they have experience. But how about as far as experience and being able to accomplish things with LSU's defense needs?
All I know is Whit Weeks is a player.
Okay.
He is a player.
No. Well, and I think, too, and Harold is a great player, and I'm not saying that his absence is any form of being, in my humble opinion, like he shouldn't be on the field and you don't need him on the field. It felt like that they were actually running defenses that they wanted to call without having to specialize doing things with him. Right? I felt like they were forcing things with him. Like USC, when they're putting him in, you have a 13 personnel by USC, and you're putting him in the middle of that defense. I don't know if that was beneficially great for him, but I mean, look, last week was the best linebacker play that we've seen in a little bit of a minute, maybe since Baskerville. Look, they combined for 25, 26 tackles, combined. So they played great last week against a really good running back and a really good running quarterback. So I'm not discrediting Harold at all, but they have gotten better in that star, quote-unquote, role that they're trying to roll out and do. I just think that they're going to continue to get better there because of Weeks. And look, I thought Xavier Atkins, a young freshman, came in and looked really good too. That kid can really fly.
Now, Blake, you look, obviously, Ole Miss. You have to look who they're playing. Boy, they got humbled, to say the least, against Kentucky. You know, look, they were averaging, 670 yards per game, almost 9 yards per play. All of a sudden, they play Kentucky. They get 353 yards, 6.3 yards per play. And I think what Lane was to do, you know, that up-tempo, stopping the run, controlling the line of scrimmage, that was Kentucky's able to do. And if they could do that, then they have the explosive pass plays. Like I said, they want to run the ball with rhythm and tempo. But I thought it was interesting. Look what happened to Ole Miss and how they crushed LSU. I mean, it was like 706 yards, 55 points. But I look what happened when Ole Miss played Alabama and Georgia. And very similar to Kentucky. Look at Ole Miss run game. It went away. Or I should say they tend to struggle as an offense if they can't run the ball. They had only 56 yards rushing against Alabama. And then you look at – now, they did rush for 179 yards against Georgia, but their Junkins, their starting running back, he only averaged 3.4 yards a carry. And Ole Miss in those two games scored 27 points combined. It's only losses of the season. And I brought this up early in the show with Deuce and Mike, that Ole Miss is 1-4 in the Kiffin era when they rush for less than 100 yards. So I can tell you right now, if they get less than 100 yards, there's no way LSU ain't winning. They'd have to almost just turn over the ball simply because Lane Kiffin, that people think it's all like chunk plays and throwing the ball down the field and all that. No, Lane Kiffin was to push the envelope up-tempo and be able to run. And if you can't stop that train, then LSU's going to be in trouble.
The problem is LSU has given up chunk plays in the running game.
Yeah.
Not only in the pass, but also in the running game.
Well, you know, the good thing about the chunk plays, you know, talking about South Carolina, those are blown, massive blown assignments. You know, like, it's not like our D-line was getting pushed off the ball like it was last year. Look, it's the best thing that they do defensively, ironically, is stopping the run, and even though they've given up those explosive plays. You know, I mean, they're 44th in the country in stopping the run. I don't know if they can stop Ole Miss. I mean, we're going to find out. But man, it just being out of alignment has really hurt them defensively in the run game. But you're right. If Ole Miss can't run the football, they can't win. But here's the good thing. If I would have told y'all, any one of you, in any two-game stretch during the season, even if it was Nichols or whoever, that they would have pulled two straight opponents under 150 yards rushing, you would have taken. Right? So they've done that in the last 2 weeks.
In a heartbeat.
I mean, and look, I think that there's no bigger compliment than Brian Kelly on the personality and person that he is when he talks about Ahmad Bro. You can't cut on that All-22 copy and not tell me that Ahmad Bro, the freshman, hasn't played. He's not making the plays. However, he's fundamentally sound in everything that he does. He's not getting pushed off the ball. Those are the small things that he's done that's helped him in the running game so far this year defensively.
And when he came in, 235, and he had put on all that weight, he was light.
I'll give you $10,000 if he was 235. That kid, man. I mean.
he's a lot bigger light. Now.
Now, Blake.
The kid said, Whataburger.
Now, Blake, you know I always say this, no matter what level, I guess high school that wouldn't be the case, but college and even the NFL, you never want to be the man to replace the man. And you look, all of a sudden, LSU's more QBU instead of DBU. I'd say they turn into wide receiver U. But you look at, like, two Heisman winners, and then you look what Garrett Nussmeier's doing. To me, he's not getting enough credit. I mean, look at LSU's offense. Now, he sometimes gets a little reckless. He had a couple of interceptions. Now, despite that, he still, against South Alabama, had 409 yards passing, 4 total touchdowns, 5 different players, had at least 3 receptions. So he's spreading the ball around. So is Garrett Nussmeier getting enough credit? Because you might say, like, oh, we need a more maybe mobile quarterback. But I think he's proven that here LSU, again, has another NFL quarterback at the helm.
Yeah, I mean, you know it better than I do. I mean, I think he's done some exceptional things. You can't take that away from him. The only thing that I want to see, though, more, Bobby, for me personally, is the best defenses that he's faced ever. He's put the ball in very critical situations that could have lost you the football game.
Gotcha.
You know, like, for me, right? Like, I mean, so you had the pick six that got called back. You lose the game if not, right? Like,
in South Carolina, yep.
Against South Carolina. Well, then, I mean, look, I know it's 50 seconds left on the clock against USC. I get that. It's a tough position to go down and score. He throws in a double coverage and the ball gets picked off. Those are the small things. I mean, like, now look, I mean, he's in what? This is a 6 game starting? What am I complaining about? You know? but the only thing is that when, you know, like, there are times when the ball is in the air, I'm like, uh-oh. Please don't go the other way. But, I mean, other than that, now I'm really being nitpicky. So, to your point, he's been exceptional. But, I mean, if you want to be very nitpicky, I guess you could talk about those turnovers.
Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great to have you on. And, man, appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, Blake.
See y'all next time. Y'all have a good one. Thank you.
All righty. That was Blake Ruffino from the Are You Serious Network covering the LSU Fighting Tigers. We'll be back on WWL Live from Rouse's Market, 717 Clearview Parkway. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk, live from Rouse's Markets, 717 Clearview Parkway. Mike DeTillo along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come shop and save at Rouse's. Get two boxes of Kellogg's cereal for only $5. Save $4.58. Give you an update on the Tulane UAB game. Tulane in the fourth quarter, 57-6. Over UAB, so I know Marcy's happy about that.
Man, they might fire Trent Dilfer. I'm joking, but Trent Dilfer, you know, Super Bowl.
It won't be long.
Super Bowl winning quarterback as the head coach at UAB.
Bobby, I know you hadn't heard about this, and I just told Mike that I wanted to give you,
please,
the injury report.
Yes, please. Who's playing center?
You maybe not. Want to hear
is it Lemieux? Come on, maybe not. Oh, Deuce, don't tell me that.
Shane Lemieux is out.
He's out for the game.
Peyton Turner is out.
Peyton Turner? You finally have a good game. What the hell?
Cesar Ruiz is out.
Man.
Taysom Hill is out. Willie Gay is out. Lucas Patrick is questionable. Pete Werner is questionable. He was limited today with a hamstring.
So your linebacking core and then Terry off in the middle.
Knock on wood, you get DeMario Davis back from a hamstring.
The captain of the defense.
Limited, you should have Fuaga. He's a limited participant today.
His back's always hurt right now. So.
Back and knee. Oh. Alvin was a full participant. Juwan Johnson, full participant. Brian Breezy, full participant. Kendre Miller, full participant. Chris Olave and Cedric Wilson. Well, we're full participants, but Pete Werner is the new guy that popped up questionable hamstring today.
So Connor McGovern may be seeing playing time real quick.
Connor will be up. Connor will be active.
Is he going to? They going to put him at center or not? That'd be our third center.
I would put him at guard.
Who are we going to have?
I mean, if Lucas
has started 92
Lucas
games
Patrick back
at center.
If Lucas can go, Lucas is my center.
Yeah.
Lucas is my center. And so you're talking about Udo and you're talking about Hergel.
It's like who's who? It's like
I mean, but that who else you got?
Man, no.
All I know is Chris Jenkins saying, who's these guys?
Chris Jones.
Who's these guys? Chris Jones, man. The only one
that's doubtful for them is Clyde.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's the one who had PTSD.
He's doubtful for them. Questionable is Hartman. He's dealing with a knee injury.
That's pretty
much the only two that have any designation.
Well, we're not beating the Chiefs. I mean, I do. So I'm not saying I'm raising a white flag. I'm not encouraged of what's going to happen. Chris Jones, he might be that disruptive. We just got to beat Tampa Bay. Again, I'd love us to win back-to-back against the Chiefs and Tampa Bay. I'm going to try and be objective.
I think you can keep it close.
Because the Chiefs have not the Chiefs find a way to win. They've been winning ugly. Pat Mahomes hadn't done really anything. He's been very average. So hopefully our defense will play at a high level. And, Deuce, you bring up – well, you might say, well, how can he truly learn what we're doing offensively? And I think I heard you and Hoss on Friday. Connor McGovern.
Yep.
And now we get him off the Jets practice squad. Now, we bring in a player that had – it ain't his first rodeo. No. 91 career NFL starts at guard and center. So even though he just came here, he might be playing. And I liked him when y'all brought this up too. And look, he has started at least 15 games in the past six seasons. He started 7 games last season with the Jets. He had a dislocated kneecap that ended his season. But this is the connection right here.
Who's his coach?
Yes. John Benton. It was McGovern's offensive line coach from 21 and 22 with the Jets.
Yeah.
So that's why, even though he just got here, hey, you got to play, dude. we
got nobody else.
He may be thrown into the fire.
Right.
Real quick. We'll be back on WWL Live from Rouse's Market, 717 Clearview Parkway. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.